SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next-day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress, and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts, and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
I'm Hattie Ashdown and welcome to Funny Mummies Podcast, the new weekly series of check-in on the lock-in. Well, we are still practically locked in. Seeing friends maybe now involves sitting on their drive, drinking out of a bottle of wine because you forgot to take a glass, or is that was just me. Okay. As hard as it is not to have a hug, it's still important to do these things for our sanity, right? But it's not the same as catching up over wine or coffee in your favourite members club. Or by that I mean Greg's. For me, there is also too much time to think and analyse where my life was going and will go post-COVID. And while such articles from The Guardian talked about how the lockdown for some women has brought upon this feeling of returning to the 1950s housewife, I feel this has also been a factor in us connecting even more with our female friends. So in light of our guest today, book Lift As You Climb, Women and the Art of Ambition, we discuss sisterhood and lifting. What does it hold in our own personal lives today? Just us, don't worry, we're not going to try and cover the whole of sisterhood and lots of our other favorite bits from the book. So let's find out who I'm talking with today. Don't worry, it's not just me. First, she ain't heavy. I write these things and then I go to read her and I'm like, what am I saying? She ain't heavy. She only likes eating grapes and tea. She's my podcast sister. She's the pat to my Frank, the tea to my scones. It's Gemma Beagley. Hi, Gemma.
All right.
She always just leaves me hanging. Like, I'm like,
I do, yeah.
Like a punishment. Yeah, this is your punishment. She is a regular to the podcast. In fact, I think, I was working out, you're like, you've been on the most times, I think.
Record breaker.
Yeah, she's a record breaker. And we are so lucky that she still allows herself to mingle with us common folk, since she's been off interviewing the likes of Julia Andrews, Hillary Clinton for her podcast, How to Own the Room. She has published 5 books and I think another on the way. She has 5 one-woman comedy shows under her belt and 2 plays for BBC Radio 4 last year. And yes, mum of 3, she is the silver siren. It's me! No, it's not really. It's Viv Groskop!
Yay! Thank you! I'm so thrilled to be checking in on the locking in. I'm going to lock it and pop it on.
Well, we're meant to be checking in on our regular to see you're okay. We can see Viv is sat in front of her wardrobe, which it looks like it's so full you can't close the doors. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it's a lot to do with the charity shops being closed, you can see behind me. So I've been like trying to do what everybody's been doing, I think, like trying to sort of tidy up and sort things out.
Yeah, of course.
But once you do that, there's nowhere to take any of it.
It's true. It's true. And you are not going to be able to make your way to Narnia through that. I can see no way.
It's also that, I mean, this is a tip for your listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
That apparently the closer you are to fabric, the better like the audio acoustic. So whenever I'm doing anything that's being recorded, I fling open the wardrobe door.
Oh, that is a good
thing. You're such a pro, isn't she? Such a
pro. I mean, I know, like, I've seen lots of people. I mean, I did some recording under my quilt and stuff.
That is really good as well, to be under the quilt. Really, but I thought that might be a bit awkward in this.
It was full fucking hot when I did it. It's coming out, going, welcome to the funny movie. Yeah. Not to be recommended. So before we get to other stuff, the real serious stuff now, Viv.
It's
a quick way of getting to know our guests. Well, although we do kind of know you, but for those that don't know you, it's a quick fire round, bit like sort of Saturday morning TV kids show type thing.
To know me, love me, let's be clear.
Yes. I love that song. Number one, baked beans or mung beans?
Oh, baked bean. Although I don't like them, but I hate mung beans more.
It's a tricky
one. I don't even really know what a mung bean is.
It's sort of nothing, but it is good for you.
Sort of nothing. Something but nothing.
That's a tagline for something, sure. Nothing.
Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Early night or lay-in?
Lay-in.
Oh, newborn baby or toddler?
Oh, both. Both.
I know you'd find that hard.
Twins and triplets of both.
But which age do you prefer? It's not like you've got to choose.
I know. I like both. I really like both.
Oh, she can't. I thought you were going to say newborn. Good shoes or good hair?
Oh, good hair.
Good hair. It's a hard one, isn't it? Well, we feel like we really know you now.
All the important things.
So we were discussing what to talk about with you today, and without it turning into sort of almost like a coaching session for
you
me.
You're welcome. You can turn it into a coaching session. Why
for
not?
For me, Gemma, I think you've been the most like, I mean, how many have we done now? We've done quite a few in lock-in, haven't we? This must be like our fifth or something. But this, you were the most like, normally I'd go, we'll just do topic of patience, that'll do. And I just couldn't decide because of, reading your book and just going, there's so much I want to talk about. And so I thought the sisterhood thing sort of stuck out for me in the book, but also I thought it's a good umbrella, and a lot comes under that. Because I know in the book you admit to having always been very sisterly. So what do you mean by that exactly? Do you just mean?
Well, I wanted to write a book that was looking at, it was really kicked off by two things. One is that I started to do a lot of events around How to Own the Room, which is my last book, and a podcast, which is all about women and owning your voice and owning the space and being confident. And in all of the events that I would go to, I had some men come because it isn't really just for women, but it's mostly aimed at women. But these events were full of women, and a lot of the questions they would ask in the events would be complaining about other women. So like the opposite of sisterhood.
Okay.
So they would often ask questions like, I remember the first event I ever did on the book, the first question, somebody stood up and said, what do you do if your boss is a complete bitch? And I was a bit like, oh, okay, well, I can see what that's got to do with owning the room, because like this woman is stopping you from owning the room. And that is what does happen to a lot of women. You know, your boss could be man or woman or holding you back, and colleagues likewise. And this question in various forms, everything from, you know, I don't want to apply for this job because my best friend's going to apply for it as well, through to, I've been promoted and I don't know how to like order my friend around, like the hierarchy's changed, or this person's blocking me. Like lots of stuff was about sort of women not helping other women.
Yeah, very negative. Very negative.
Yeah, and us not being really able to have a conversation about that. So that was the first thing. And the second thing was that I think probably about 5 years ago, I remember reading this quote by Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State and legendary collector of brooches. Extraordinary brooches that she used to send diplomatic messages with.
Everyone's got a gimmick.
Everyone's got.
Anyway, she has this quote that is, there is a special place in hell reserved for women who don't help other women. And that was always really fascinating to me. Mm. And I remember, maybe I read about it longer ago than that, because I remember when I first started performing comedy, which is when I met your two excellent selves, about, like 10 years ago, I remember feeling that in the main, women in particular were really supportive to each other and they helped each other out. And
yeah,
I think it's not necessarily gendered, like there were lots of men who helped me out as well, but women in particular sort of grouped together and really tried hard to push each other forward. And it was a real manifestation of like the positive side of that quote. But the negative side of that is basically like, if you don't do everything for everybody else and you put yourself first, then you're going to hell.
Yeah.
And I thought there's something really interesting about that, because there's a kind of tension there between that idea and the kind of Beyonce, you go girl.
Yeah, yeah. You
put yourself first, put yourself out there. There's a really interesting tension there. So in Lift As You Climb, I wanted to ask all of these questions about what does it mean to push yourself forward, and how do you do that not at the expense of other people and other women in particular? And one answer to that is, in inverted commas, sisterhood. But sisterhood in itself is a really complicated thing, and it can sound very right on and preachy, and what do you actually mean by it? So the idea of the book was to open up this conversation and put some of these difficult ideas under the microscope.
Well, I'm listening then and I'm thinking, well, one, when I first entered the stand-up world, we've sort of talked about this before a little bit, that it wasn't exactly that welcoming by other women, but that was only because, as you know, it used to be
there weren't hardly any of them.
No, so there'd be none, and there might be one other, and it sort of enforced this sort of competitiveness, because without even your brain just went to like, oh, well, if she, you know, and then you sort of take a reality check. And it was actually Susie Ruffle, and that's why I always remember it, who sort of like organized this get together. And it was like the first time that I'd seen other female comics. And it was after that that, you know, I admit that after that I was like, oh yeah, it's better if we help each other, isn't it? And I know that sounds, I'm just being really
well,
honest.
Well, yeah, but the opposite makes sense as well, because I think it's less the case now, but like 10 years ago, if there was a bill of five people, then there's only going to be one woman.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, that would probably still be the case a lot of places now.
It and still is, unfortunately, yeah. Particularly out of London.
She's not going to be the headliner. You know, the woman's going to be the opener.
Yeah.
The woman's not going to be the MC either, most places. Mm. So it makes sense in some ways that you feel that sense that you're always competing for this one slot.
Yeah, but I'm... Yeah, I mean, going back to like... I mean, there's not much... sisterhood at the moment in terms of like, you know, it's only my friends that I'm talking to, and in terms of like networking, I mean, I'm sort of like, I'm trying to set something up at the moment, and actually that I've just realized actually there is a little bit of lifting going on with that, and that's me putting different people in touch. But I think we are trying to help each other more, but then, you know, I think but then is that just because everyone, I feel a sense of everyone's trying to help each other more anyway at the moment.
I think they are, definitely. And I think that it's really interesting. I think, who knows how this is all going to play out. But in the future, I think we will remember this time very strongly, because it's the time of adaptation where it's new and we've no idea what's coming, and we're trying to get used to this moment.
Yeah.
Whatever happens next, we'll be better adapted to it. So we'll remember how we felt now. And I think we'll want to remember who we most wanted to speak to, who we most wanted to hang out with. And I've kind of surprised myself in some ways. With
have you?
Who I've most, yeah, because a lot of my social contacts before all of this were very, very work-based.
Right.
I am really close with a lot of my work friends, and I love them, and we have a great time. And one of the things I love about my work is that it's mostly really sociable. But in this time, I've really gone back to like my oldest and truest friends.
So like that moment when you got the phone, you're like, who do I want to ring?
Absolutely. And sometimes it's friends who I don't actually check in with that much. normally because our friendship is really strong and we can always just go back to where we left off. But there's been times during this time I've like speaking to people 3 or 4 times a day on the phone who I would only normally speak to like once a month or something.
I know.
You know, but that's really nice. I love that. It's just a really nice feeling. But thinking of what you were talking about there, Hassie, about sisterhood and who you reach out to, the one thing I really love about this moment is the thing I wrote about it, the book, this Lift As You Climb and the art, Women and the Art of Ambition. I wanted it to be about redefining ambition so that you use it for good. And you be ambitious about who's in your friendship group, how are you controlling your life, what are you doing with your time? That to me is ambition rather than how can I get enough money to buy a Ferrari?
Yeah.
And that's what's really nice about this moment is that I think people are kind of getting ambitious and hungry for the things that they really care about and making space for them in their life because that's the only place where they can get solace and comfort at the moment.
Yeah. So I just think from the smallest things, from either, I will be honest, it's mostly women. When I'm out, I've had the most people talk to me. And I know that some of that's probably because people are desperate to talk to people. But I went out the other day and within being out for just half an hour, some woman told me about a local women's refuge where they're taking donations. So I can take my clothes and baby stuff there. As I said, charity shops aren't open. And I was like, wow, I just feel like we wouldn't have had these conversations before. And and talking to I had a friend knock on my door the other day who I haven't seen for about 8 years. So
wow,
everyone's gone crazy. What about you, Jem?
Sorry, go on, Jem.
I've got a question really for both of you then. What is it then about being locked down or whatever that has meant that you, if you're speaking to people, you know, friends that you wouldn't usually speak to so regularly, or that we are holding certain, we seem to be changing our attention, I suppose. Like what is it? Is it because there's 8 million people furloughed and so there is less attention on work and so, you know, our eyes are open? Is it because if I have to look at this fucking same wall again, you know, in the next hour, I'm going to kill myself? So what is it? Why is it different?
I think it's a combination of anxiety and distraction. And I mean really lack of distraction. So I think most people on some level, whether they admit it or not, are experiencing some kind of anxiety. You know, you have to, because it's totally uncertain. And I don't know if I want to say that this moment is less uncertain than it was 2 months ago. I don't know. Like the definition of what uncertainty means is just changing all of the time. So we don't know. We don't know if we can plan to go anywhere in 4 weeks' time. We can't plan to go anywhere on Christmas. I'm not going to buy a plane ticket for 2021. I don't know about you, but
really?
You know, everything is very, very uncertain. So I think when you have that, you have anxiety. And then the people that you're in touch with now, they're the people who most help you alleviate your anxiety. That's what makes the most sense to me. And then also, this is really about when you don't have so many distractions in your life, because a lot of things have been pared away, whether it's the busyness of life, the busyness of work, taking kids to school, like lots of kind of things that take up a lot of our time and a lot of our bandwidth, whether we like it or not, they've been taken away, all of those distractions. And so in another kind of good way, who do you get in touch with when you don't have any distractions? And I think it's the people that you really care about.
And so
this isn't fun times, guys. I feel like I'm being
No, it's great, but I keep forgetting that I'm not just listening to all my audio and I've got to ask you questions.
Respond.
But also I was just thinking then, like, it makes you think about your friendships. You're like,
I do. I think there's a kind of flip side to this as well. I was noticing this with various calls that I was having with some people that I think sometimes this time can put pressure on friendships as well. And because we haven't lived through anything like this before, so we don't really know how to behave. You can just be thinking, it can get a little bit intense too quickly. even with really, really old friendships, I think. So it's just such a, it's a difficult time.
Oh, what you mean, just talking and stuff, like your conversation get a bit intense, yeah, especially if you're just, because I don't know about you, Viv, but I feel like I do have different friends in different categories. That sounds awful. I don't mean I literally categorize them, but like you said, some that are more, sort of more working friends, but I love socializing with them, but they probably wouldn't come around my house and stay over, or you know what I mean?
Well, I hope not, because that would be illegal. Don't
be illegal at the moment
in your house, unless you live in Durham.
Yes, well,
and you have land.
Yes, and for your own private forest.
Sorry, that was
I was just camping in my private forest.
Oh God, don't.
Well, let's not go there. That's depressing. Mm.
I know, but you got to laugh at it. You got to laugh at these bloody idiots. Always men. I'll move on. What was I saying? Friends. I've got to say now.
So you have different categories of friends.
Yeah, but it was something else.
I know that I fall into your category of comedy friend.
Oh, God. Well, I can't even remember where that came from. Did I just call you comedy friend one time? What was?
You did.
You have gone up a level, don't worry.
When we were on your radio show, and I think I was on with Jen Brister.
Yeah,
and you said these are my comedy friends, and
we just met from the world of comedy. And I know she hasn't let me live it down.
Yeah,
Gemma.
We are slightly shit friends.
Well, Gemma comedy has invited friends. Me over to stay in a pink spare bedroom, so
it's actually peach.
Oh, so peach, even better.
If you are going to sleep in it, if you could get the colouring.
Sorry. but I feel like you're very close friends, Viv, because I've been listening to you every day. I think my husband's sick of your voice.
To keep it real, I have a child who seems to be banging on the floor. So I don't know if you want to, what should I do?
We can.
Sorry.
We'll take a pause.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with Screaming with Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come to.
Okay, you're still listening to the Funny Mummies. Cathy Ashton and Gemma Beagley and Viv Groskop. And this chuckling is because we had to take a quick break because Gemma's son, he does like listen to this podcast though, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Got himself stuck in a sort of...
a bit of a dustbin lid.
We shouldn't laugh. It was a very harrowing moment. Some of the best TV I've seen in 10 weeks, watching Gemma get him out of it. But you did it. Well done.
Thank you for the... I had to bring him down to the webcam because I didn't know what to do.
Your face when you went, I need your help. I thought, what the hell can we help with from here?
Well, you did. Fairy liquid. There you go.
Hey, if you were straight in there, get the fairy liquid. I would have been saying butter for some reason, but...
It's got some kind of lubricant. But no, I'm a single woman. I do not have any lubricant. Sorry.
Really? Even more reason to have... Oh, no. Yeah, okay. Let's not go there. Well, you know,
this is taking a very dark turn.
It has. How we've gone from my son getting stuck in a bin lid to that.
Lubricant.
I started it, sorry.
Yeah, but you don't just need lubricant. Oh, okay. No, all right. When you get a certain age, you get a bit, you know, you need
there
a bit
she
of
goes.
Help.
Women of a certain age,
they need KY jelly, even on their own. I feel like it's so sensible now, going back to like... So we're talking about sisterhood and lifting. I know, I love the bit in the book where you say about, and I haven't done it yet, write down things that if it was just, you'd want to do, if it was just, you, no hold bar. Is that right? Have I described that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you had no fear and no one was going to stop you.
Yeah. What would
you do?
So I thought sort of under that banner comes, it depends what you do. But for me, I guess in a way, I hate that word, your brand. The brand and then what comes from that is the social media. And I've got the podcast and I've got scream with laughter, and then I've got my own thing, and I know Viv, we've talked about this before, I need to bring it all together, and I'm sort of trying, but
this is where we get to the coaching part of the course.
Yes, we are now, aren't we? Yeah, I didn't mean it to go this way, but I'm trying to make it relevant for all people listening.
Well, I think people draw their own lessons from other people's specificities.
That's why I love your podcast, because even if it's somebody's
even if it's Hillary Clinton, you know, you're not going to think, oh, this isn't relevant, I don't want to be the president. You know, you're going to draw something from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, you want to draw together all the disparate aspects of what you do.
Of course, so I didn't mean to bring that in now, but I was just thinking about, just interested to hear about you.
We got her
for free, Gemma, let's do it. Well, Gemma said it, you know, she's like, oh, should we change the name of, you know, Funny Mummies and Scream with Laughter and sort of make it all one thing? Because I have had people, you know, professional people, should we say, who are asking me about stuff, and they're like, get confused. They'll say, oh, so, you know, I think they just get confused. They're like, oh, is Funny Mummies, you know, is that the gig then? And I'm like, no, that's the podcast. And sometimes I just feel like everything's a little bit all over the place.
I guess, when you have things like that going on, and yeah, this is relevant for lots of people, because lots of people do all kinds of different things, and they may feel like for work reasons they need to bring that all together to make it look like it makes sense, right? This is a really common problem,
is it?
But you have to ask, like, why? What is the problem that you're trying to answer? And it could be that you just don't feel comfortable, and that's a good enough reason. But that's an easy one to answer, because then you just think, okay, what's the solution that would make me feel the most comfortable? Right. And the only thing that solution has to do is make me feel comfortable. Right. So that's one option. Another option is, I need to figure out how to make this thing make more money.
Well, yes,
and
that's
and I'm not saying this is necessarily your thing, but generally when people have this issue, it's because they think they want to make more money, or they want to make sure they're not missing opportunities. And then so you have to think, well, is that change really going to help it make money? Or is there something else I could do that would do that quicker?
Yeah.
So you're trying to figure out, like, why, you know, why is it that you want to do this? Because you could say, you know, you've got 2, 3, 4 things going for you that are all a bit different, they're all really interesting. The people who need to understand what they are, they do understand what they are, they're growing. What's the problem?
Go on, carry on.
Well, I was gonna say, you could say that, but the most important thing is, what problem are you trying to solve?
That's a bloody good question, and I think it's just making things simpler. Like today, it's a good example. So a good bit of female lifting. My friend who's a comedy promoter, and I used to do lots of gigs for her, but she'd been doing some Zoom gigs. And I said, one of my friends watched this gig, and then she said, oh, my boss might be interested in doing this sort of thing for my company. So lots of connecting. Anyway, I've connected them up, but when she was just sort of selling me on an email, I felt, because I'm CC'd into it, rightly so, before she talked about the podcast, she was talking about Scream with Laughter, because, you know, that's quite a good thing to sell, even though that's got nothing to do with the podcast. This was about getting somebody as a guest on the podcast. And I thought, it would be just easier if it's all together, but maybe it doesn't matter.
I mean, maybe it's a little...
Because she was like, oh, Hattie Ashton would like to be a guest. She does Scream of Laughter, which is a lunchtime comedy club, which was started by Lucy Porter. And now she does this podcast. I think anyone who didn't know would be like, what? And I have had that before, where people, are a bit confused. What's it called? But then other times I'm like, they're so different. They're, you know, Scream of Laughter is very much, it's a lunchtime comedy club for new parents to bring little babies, which is totally different to this podcast in some ways.
Well, I just think if it bugs you, change it, because you've got nothing to lose from changing it.
But yeah, I think it bugs you more that it bugs people than it bugs you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so you're right. The bugs me about it is that people go, well,
because for me, I'm like, it's quite simple. Saying, one is a live show, and one is a podcast.
But with me saying you should be consistent across your branding, and you know, it should all be screaming with laughter or whatever. You know, I think what pisses you off is so the reason for you to change it is because it annoys you when people say it should be different, which I don't feel is like a right reason, but.
Yes and no. When you said that, I kind of was like, yeah, God, you know what? It would be in some ways a relief. If I could just think of a good enough name that covered both, I would. But I...
Just pick either name and stick with it. Okay. It really doesn't matter. This is absolutely classic procrastination going on here.
Is it?
Yeah, that is stopping you from making a really simple change or deciding not to make any change over something that doesn't matter. This is like a writer who's got a great book in them, a brilliant idea,
yeah,
but they can't start writing it because they can't decide on a title.
Right, yeah.
Right? And that's when you've got to start your book under the title As Yet Untitled.
Yeah.
Same with Edinburgh Show, same with everything. But I meet so many people who are like, oh yeah, I've got this great idea. And the thing is, I just can't decide on the title. Like, I've got, what do you think of this? And what do you think of this? And this whole, what do you think of the da, 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 da? There's no work going on while that's happening.
Mm.
So it's all a big, elaborate procrastination excuse device. So whatever you can do to like bust those excuses out of the way and get onto the real thing that you need to do, that's what you need to do. So you say I've decided I'm not changing the name. We're keeping it as it is. We're not having this conversation anymore. Next, yeah. Or I'm changing the whole thing to X. It's decided. Next.
Okay. I will.
I have spoken.
He has spoken.
There we go.
But you know, this stuff is like classic procrastination, excuse making because of the underlying stress of what you want your creative project to be. You're worried it's going to get rejected, all of that stuff that you're trying to protect yourself from failure gets wrapped up in these little minutiae that don't matter. I mean, because like, you know, you said at the beginning, I've written 5 books, I've had to sell those 5 books in, and often the title that I wanted has gone out of the window by the time it's gone into a marketing department.
Really?
And then, like, I've got stressed about that and upset about it. And 2 weeks later, they've changed it back to the one I wanted in the first place.
Right.
But there's no point in getting stressed about these labels and ideas. And it's like the meat of it that you've got to get into of what exactly you're trying to do, how you're going to move this thing forward.
I think it's not just about, if I'm honest, Viv, it's not just about, some of it's the admin. Obviously, I've got Scream of Laughter website, and I'd have to, you know, if I'd have to change all that, a little bit of that.
The work of half an hour.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I love a tough love. Tough love, she says in the book. That's how she's tough love. but I think it's also just me always sort of, it's so hard to use that word procrastinating, because a lot of the time I find I'm a person that dives straight in and don't think. Like, Alex hates it because if I've got an idea, when I, back in the days when I had all the confidence with my sitcom, that's how that happened, because I just dived in. I didn't
you didn't second guess yourself.
Yes, I didn't worry about the bloody arguments about the bloody name of that, but I didn't worry about that, you know. I just dived in. But I don't know if that was to do with being young and whatever, I don't know. But I think now some of it's also to do with like where I'm directing my energies in terms of my career and stuff. And I think that's why I've been delaying it, because it's like, and that's one good thing about lockdown. It does feel like a little bit post-apocalypse, and you know, it sort of narrows things down. I'm like, right, I'm concentrating on the podcast. There's just, you know, it forces you to narrow things down. So kind of like that, really. But, I always get a sort of feeling you're not that keen on social media, Viv.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'd love to see how I would behave if I really wasn't that keen on it. I mean, God, I use it enough, right?
That doesn't mean you're very good on it, but maybe it's just in the book. Or, I don't know.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm I definitely think there should be boundaries, like internal boundaries and rules that you have for yourself about how you use it and how you regard it in your life. I think it is a tool for a lot of there's a lot of benefits to it, has a lot of positives, and that's why I use it. If I really wasn't against it, I just wouldn't use it. But I see a lot of damage that it does. And
like what, like what sort of thing?
Well, just look at everything that's happening in the world right now, all of the without social media there would be no fake news. The whole environment that's grown up in the last 10 years, it's been allowed to proliferate because of social media, and on social media things that get rewarded are generally negative. Like you know when you do those kind of thought bubble things, they've done them with millions and millions of tweets where they classify them as fearful, angry, anxiety, and they then classify them as like positive, neutral, happy. And the ones that can be classed as negative emotions, they spread like hundreds of times faster than positive tweets. So outrage travels on social media, anger travels. And that can be really positive. Like, it's great for a social justice movement and for sharing, important things that we should be outraged about. But it's also put to, the most tedious use, to deploy outrage and shame against people for 24 hours and then their life is ruined and you move on to the next person. And I think when you are in the business of putting books out there or comedy stuff or anything that people can have an opinion about, you have to be pretty careful as an individual how much you kind of live or die by that world. So I think it's fine, but you treat it with caution and you have your own rules. The same as with reviews, like, don't go reading reviews when you're really, really hungry and tired. Maybe don't ever read them.
Some people have a no reading reviews.
Yeah.
Sophie Hagen, I think, I don't know if Jess was talking about Sophie on our last episode, but she's turned the ability to comment off her tweets. So she's just like, right, no, that's it. She's absolutely had it now. She's, she has had many years of some pretty horrendous abuse.
Good for her. That's her boundary at the moment. Time when she changes her mind. But I think, you have to make your own judgment about how does this work for me? What positive is this bringing into my life? What good is it bringing?
And there you go. And that is something that I suggest, because I include myself in this, that people do not ask themselves around this stuff, is how, if at all, am I using this positively?
Yes.
For myself. And I know the last couple of days, just with everything that's been going on, but it's not bringing me peace at all. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
And so what I've done is I've deleted every social media app off my phone. So to go on social media, I actually have to open up my laptop and
you've got to put your passwords in. Yeah, that's really positive.
My screen time has absolutely gone down, because it's just like, do you know what, for now, just for the moment, and that old cliche of we are more connected than ever. And yet I have never felt so more disconnected from society as I have done during this lockdown.
Yeah.
And my screen time every week has gone up and up and up.
Yeah.
And up.
Well, these technologies, they present this illusion of connectedness and keeping you up to date with all the information. Look, keep up to date, stay up to date. When you wake up in the morning, turn it on and see what you've missed in the night. Mm. And it there's loads of really great books about this and loads of stuff being written about it, not least of all by the people who invented it. But it activates a thing in your brain that is constantly hungry for the new.
Yeah.
And it's just an illusion, because, what's been going on over the last few days after the race incidents in the US.
Yeah, well, you can say, because this will go out in a couple of weeks' time. So with George Floyd.
It's fantastic that people have been sharing really useful resources, and you should read this book and listen to this podcast, and all of those things are really useful. But if you followed social media a lot over the last 3 or 4 days, you would have read the same book recommendation about 3,000 times.
Mm.
And you don't need to read it 3,000 times. You've seen it once, you've seen it.
I need to read the fucking book, Viv.
Exactly.
That's why I've turned it off. Because it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not reading another set of lists anymore. I'm just going to read the information that is contained in this fucking book.
Exactly, exactly. Because otherwise it is just echo chamber and outrage central. And it's like, you guys are too young to remember this, but the TV program, Why Don't You?
I do remember that.
Why don't you turn off your television and go
do something
interesting.
More interested instead.
No, or is it something less boring instead?
Less boring. Why don't you? Something like that.
That is what you've got to think about social media.
So you have to, obviously.
You've got to think, how is this serving me and how am I serving others?
And I've also found during this, just in terms of media, is that, you know, I complain to myself, really, that I don't get to see as much theatre as I want to, and there's this thing on at the National and this thing on at the National. What's happened in 10 weeks is that the National put loads of stuff out for free on YouTube. How many things have I watched? Fucking one. Why? Because I'm sitting there scrolling like an idiot through, flipping between Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And it's just like, but I love theatre, and there it is. I'm angry with myself, you know.
But don't be hard on yourself, Gemma. We've been going through a pandemic. There's been fucking horrendous racial murders in America. We're having, we want to be, you know, it is like keep going out to the neighbour and finding out what's going on next door. And do you know what I mean? Like, that's a natural instinct, isn't it? So don't be hard on yourself. You will watch that opera. What was it again?
Theatre.
Your mum that likes opera, sorry.
Is there something really sad about social media and the national conversation and how we consume news, which is that like 10, 15 years ago, I think most of us regarded it as like a basic part of adult life. And it's a huge part of comedy as well, and stuff that everyone's going to understand, and then you can riff off it. Like, to have a basic understanding of what people care about and what's going on, there was a general consensus of what that was. And it didn't take you very long every day to keep up to date with that. Maybe half an hour reading the paper.
Yeah, God, you know what? Sometimes I just heart back. You know,
News Night once a week or Question Time once a week. And you wouldn't have to worry about your blood pressure. And, you know, there was division and polarization and loads of, you know, nutters and all kinds of things. But it wasn't, now it's times by a million. And all of that editing facility that people used to do for us is taken away. So now if you want to do that, you know, what your impetus, Gem, is to be well-informed.
Yeah.
That's a really great impetus. But the stuff that you can use to inform yourself with now is kind of poisonous.
Yes, yes.
So really, we've got, so Viv, where does Viv get her information from? I love this. I sort of have this idea that you sort of just stick to one news source. I just, you know, because like you say, there's just so much shouting.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I imagine that Viv gets a pile of actual printed newspapers on some kind of journalist list. Like a courier comes and goes, extra, and dumps it.
When I used to work in newspapers when I was in my 20s, that is what would happen. Everybody would have their own individual set of newspapers, which, yeah, they were really heavy, like about 10 papers that would be delivered every morning at 8 in the morning, and you'd have to read them by 10 and then put your ideas in. So yeah, I was raised on that, but I don't do that now. So I buy the Guardian from time to time, print, and I buy the FT on the weekend. I read Private Eye every week, so I buy that in print. But everything else I kind of pick it from online, so I use Twitter.
Do you have a particular source? Like, do you look at, are you one of them? I know Carrie Ann Lloyd has the phone in another room at night. She won't look at it, so that you're not looking at it first thing. But with you, it must be difficult with your job. I feel like you feel like,
yeah, I go in and out of it, I'd say. I sometimes am a bit more controlled around it, but a lot of the time, yeah, I do sleep in the same room as my phone, and sometimes I check it in the morning, sometimes I don't. You know, I'm kind of the same as Gemma. Like, I go through periods of consuming too much and then pulling right back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gemma, this is jumping to another topic, but we'll probably have to wrap up soon. it's a bit random, but we're sort of doing random topic tonight.
We're just a bit crazy, aren't we?
Wacky. Like, we're a bit woke.
We're there.
Yeah. Women of a certain age. You long to rely on your darkest responses. Is that what it says?
Who says that?
What is it? Having played the waiting game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I have to sing that at my birthday. It's so funny. Anyway. No, time for now. Because it's a private dancer. I forget that that's what that song is about. Yeah. Anyway. It was something I was thinking about the other day, because I was like, should I do this? Should I do that? Or maybe I should do a blog. And then I was like, does anyone do blogs anymore? Is it still important? Is it relevant? But I know they do, obviously. But I mean, some of the Facebook, Instagram people I follow, they will put up, you know, oh, please see my blog. And I'll be honest, I don't really ever go to the blog. But I know that it's probably still a big source of information in terms of if you want to know about a specific thing. But is the blog, you know, the kind of carry idea of living in London, is it, you know, the personal journal, is that kind of
in Manhattan?
Well, again, you see, I'm going straight back to the classic question, why? Like, why do you want a blog? What's the point? What purpose is it supposed to serve? Because there are good reasons for doing it. Like, you want to discipline yourself to write 500 words every day on a certain topic. And you promise yourself you're going to write that every day. You're just going to give yourself, you could probably write it in 15 minutes, half an hour, and put it up, good or bad, and stick it on 3 or 4 different social media platforms, knowing that most of the time it will be ignored. But you're not doing it to get attention. You're doing it because you want to write every day. That's a good reason to get yourself into the discipline of writing every day and promise yourself you're not going to think about it and not going to have any aims for a month.
No.
And then at the end of the month, you review it. What did I write that was good? Did I write anything that got any traction? Did I think any of it deserved more traction? Maybe that's where I want to dig into. Like, you do it for yourself. That's one good reason. Another good reason is, like, you want to connect with a particular community. So you start blogging about whatever. Right. You know, it's the same with podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, you do it for, lots of people do it for different reasons. Like, I want to have a podcast is not really a good enough reason. But I want to have a podcast because I want to have somewhere where I can get stuff off my chest.
Did you hear me?
The moms, et cetera. Like, you just want to know why you're doing things.
Yeah. I don't know. I never question why. I just do it. No, I do.
Because if people get into this idea of, like, doing something because it's the latest thing.
Yeah.
It's not a good enough reason.
It's not authentic. And I think it just shows in the end, doesn't it? Like, if it's
It's not a good enough reason to sustain your own interest in it.
Yeah.
I did a podcast in
2010. Woo, show off.
It was basically me, Richard Herring, and fucking Adam Buxton, and that was like, but but the reason I did it, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but was because I was in love with the guy.
That's a good reason.
Exactly, it was a great reason. I got to spend time with him. He'd come to my flat, and yeah.
Did he try to put a bin over his head?
No, he didn't. And maybe that's, I should have realised.
You like the men in your life to put bin lids over their head.
And funnily enough, I was listening back not long ago and just talking back, and we were discussing about what our friends thought about our podcast. And he was saying his friends were like, good for you for doing it. Like, it was quite a novel thing that people weren't doing. I thought, fucking hell, like, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry's got a podcast now. But, you know, it was quite novel back then. But the reason I did it was because I was in love. I wanted to spend time with somebody.
And what was it called?
Beagley and Wisdom Discuss.
Do you actually want to say, in case we try and guess who it is?
He was adorable,
wasn't he?
He was. What became of him?
Well, I declared my love to him, and he just said he didn't feel the same way. So that was it.
Well, he does not live up to his name, Gemma Beagley.
No, he does not. Yeah. But he's got a kid and one on the way, and we're still in touch. I was on a Zoom call with him a few weeks ago.
So he was sweetheart.
I don't think I know who you're talking about. Do I?
It's Tom, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well remembered. Yeah. Great guy.
Rings a bell. But I'm going to have a Google afterward.
But yeah, that's a good reason to have a podcast.
A good reason, yeah.
So it doesn't have to be like a reason that furthers your career. Or,
oh, no.
You know, it just has to be something that really means something to you.
Mm. I think it's probably about around the same sort of time I had...
James Redmond. Didn't you?
No, we didn't have a podcast. No. I've done bloody radio. I've done radio shows.
Podcast is now sounding like a euphemism for. Didn't you once have a podcast with James Redmond?
No, he did ask me once to penetrate me. You're thinking of another P. It wasn't podcast.
Whoa, you went there really quick.
Wow. But it's because that's the word he used. I was like, what? I mean, most people, you know, work up a bit, James. You've just gone, I think I'd like to penetrate you or something like that. And I was like, Jesus, whoa! And,
And?
No!
You know we're recording, yeah? This is coming out. You need to put on the thing going, oh, and Hattie and Gemma reveal who they are in love with.
I was never in love with him. That's why we're good friends. But I talked about it on the show the other week when me and him did this Zoom thing. Is that I was like, you know, all these girls wanted to sleep with him. And I was like, no, I'd rather have him as a friend. But anyway, he probably is. He probably didn't. Why are you two looking at me strangely?
It's just really funny.
I don't know what I was going to say now. No, oh God, it seems so boring now. I had a podcast called Hattie's Running a Bath. And again, I started that not because I was in love with anyone. I was doing it on my own. So I was
because you were running a bath.
I was running a bath. I fucking love a bath. And it was just me talking to bloody comedians, and creators, were, you know, just like writers and all sorts, and about their favourite night at where to spend a night in. But I bloody loved it. And like, that was just a passion. Like, I just loved, I just loved doing it. But that was the time when everyone went, oh, what's the podcast then? And now I wish I'd carried it on. It would be huge. Almost as huge as this podcast. We are on Patreon now, if people would like to join us on Patreon. And please find us. So on that note, it's a very good note, Viv, to finish up on. We now finish up on if you could have your perfect night out. Let's say it's post-lockdown. And I would say, from previous things, I would like to put some conditions in, because otherwise it's just gone a bit too crazy. You can only do three things. Money is no object, but it has to be in reality. So you can't go off and ride a unicorn. But
okay.
But you can do, but in one evening, what would you like to do? Where are you going? Who are you going with? What are you wearing?
Oh, this is a tricky one, isn't it? Because I've already become so sort of Stockholm syndrome.
You've forgotten what going out is.
As you can tell from what's behind me, I'm just preparing to lock in for the rest of eternity now. So then I was thinking, oh, I could fly to New York, but that wouldn't be very convenient of an evening, I don't think. So I think I would want to go, I'd go to Soho, and I'd definitely have to get on the karaoke.
So, oh, yeah.
With my sister.
Do you like karaoke?
Love the karaoke. Oh, Gem, you come must to my... love the karaoke.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I love a karaoke love... where I'm comfortable to, you know. So that's with my sister.
Love it. Yeah. Never going to get it. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Whitney. What's your karaoke? Is that your number one karaoke song?
Oh, I'm one of those people who I get to the karaoke thing where you're looking at all the songs. You're like, oh, my God, that one. So, yeah, anything. I love. Old classic, like I Will Survive. Me and my sister always get into like trying to do Celine Dion, but doing it like really, not My Heart Will Go On, that's too obvious, but doing like really, really serious versions.
It's all coming back to me now.
With the thunder and the rain. Really dramatic karaoke.
I'm going to ask Soho Radio to put that on the end of this when it goes out.
God, I love that so much.
Let me write that now. So you go in karaoke?
Yeah, go in karaoke and then I want to go and eat somewhere. You see, I've already kind of deconditioned myself from thinking that I can never go out again. I just want some chips from somewhere.
It's a popular answer, chips, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. I just want some chips.
And the little shop chip chips.
And maybe like some drinking champagne out of a bottle.
Oh.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, that would do me. But really, just the karaoke's enough.
Are you a big going out person anyway? Do you like, you know, we've had some sort of previous people like, I'm not really sort of into going dancing or anything. They'd rather do activities, as I call it.
Activity,
you know, like bowling or
I don't like activities.
No,
apart, a karaoke is not an activity, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
I love going out. I love like going for cocktails and going out to eat, and I love all of that. Well, I used to. You see, I try not to think that it exists.
I feel like we're torturing you. Sorry.
I get too upset.
I've got a question for you, Viv. Have you ever been in a helicopter?
Is this a trick question?
No.
Okay. The way she says it.
That's a really good question. I don't think I have.
Oh, you know. Oh, you know.
Okay. No, I find it strange in a way that I haven't. But no, I haven't. I have been in a very strange, very, very small plane in Cuba that was like a tin can and could only seat about 7 people. But that was not a helicopter.
What were you doing?
I was on my honeymoon.
Oh.
Yeah. That's like, don't take an internal flight in Cuba. That's one of my rules for life.
Sounds a little bit Buddy Holly to me, that.
Yeah, it does, isn't it?
Why were you asking me about helicopter?
It came up in like the first podcast in this lockdown series. And someone said, oh, just casually, like, oh, I'd probably go in a helicopter. And then they said that they'd been in a helicopter. And then, like, as if it was just like everyone's been in a helicopter. We were like, what? And so then we just thought it'd be funny to just always really ask. Funny.
Just now I just ask every time.
No one else has said yes. It's one person.
No, I don't dream of helicopter travel.
No. Scares me a little bit.
No. I just dream of singing It's All Coming Back to Me Now with Gemma Beagley.
Oh, I tell you.
Well, I always do karaoke.
There were nights with
Baby.
I bloody love karaoke. I always do it on my birthday, and my birthday's March, so hopefully next year, March, we'll be able to get back to doing karaoke.
There's also a Celine Dion version of I Drove All Night.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And Alone, she covered Alone. How do I get you alone?
I've never done any Celine Dion.
I hear the ticking of a clock.
Yes.
No answer on the telephone. I feel like you brought the karaoke to me, guys.
Well, we did some karaoke the other night on a Zoom hen night. It was very odd because obviously every time everyone sings, it just goes to them. So everyone was out of time. It was
amazing.
It was hilarious, but lots of fun. Right, so we'll let you go. And any particular women you'd like to, maybe anyone who's a bit unsung you'd like to big up?
Oh, I know who I wanted to mention here, actually, and I'm going to look up her name to make sure I don't get it wrong. I think she's the governor of the state of Kerala in India.
Wow.
And Kerala, the state, has a population of 35 million, and they have had 5 deaths from coronavirus.
Shut up.
Because she was told about the virus and what was happening in China on the 21st of January. So she closed the borders on the 24th of January and instigated a track and trace and a system of testing everybody who came into the country. And it meant that they knew exactly who had it and stopped. They made people quarantine and they, you know, visited them every day. And absolutely amazing, amazing woman. This is her.
Wow, I want to move there. What's her name again?
So her name is KK Shailaya, and they call her Teacher Shailaya because she used to be a science teacher.
Of course. It was good. It's an imaginative nickname.
Yeah. Sorry, I overestimated how many deaths. They haven't had 5, they've had 4 in a population of 35 million. Now that is how you do a lockdown.
Shailaya. Wow.
That is how you do a lockdown.
And that's a bloody woman. Thank you very much.
Shailaya.
Yeah, that's what I was this morning.
Go
to
teacher.
Sing it.
Teacher.
Go teacher.
Leave the kids alone. She listened.
Viv, apart from people buying all your books, listen to your podcast, is there anything?
Come into your house.
Come into your house.
Come and have some books from my cover.
Clear out all the stuff that needs to go to charity. Is there anything you'd like to promote that you're doing, or you've got a new book that's
my new book is called Au revoir tristesse, goodbye
don't sadness. Hang about Gemma
lessons Sorry. In happiness from French literature, and it's all about comfort reading.
Well, you know, we're just going to get you back to talk about that.
I feel like I need to go on in a helicopter before I come back.
Okay. Let's all make that our thing for 2021.
Yeah. Maybe. It's great. You're such an inspo.
You are such an inspo. I hope you've enjoyed
hashtag,
it.
Hashtag blessed.
Oh, nice. I hope you've enjoyed it. thank you, Gemma Beagley. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you so much, Viv Groskop. Please keep listening and subscribing and bloody telling everyone, because it's the only way people can find us. And we are on Patreon now. Funny Mummies on Patreon. Dead cheap. And there are some interesting benefits.
Hello.
Mainly Gemma is providing them. I'll let you go. You've been listening to Funny Mummies podcast. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next-day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.